You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
Okay, so this is Drupal Shit. If you want to come by and hang out, there's no formal plan for this session, you know, which I guess is sort of the unconference model. I've done presentations before. I've been to the Drupal meetup, and I've done very formal planned presentations. The last one I did was about podcasting in Drupal, and yeah, he was there, and I guess he liked it, so that's good.
Podcasting in Drupal, you say?
Yeah. Basically, just explaining to people how to well, you know, there's a lot of problems with, you know, because Drupal, I think structurally is one of those things where it's so open that it becomes sort of chaos, and you get all this splintering of modules and things, and you know, some people have tried to come out with podcasting modules for it, but then it splinters off into the audio, and so then you get all the sort of partisanship for the audio module, and then it ends up. Neither one of them end up being all that great because neither one of them can sort of centralize the support for those modules. So anyway, point being that the way I said people should podcast with Drupal is to just use the basic built-in story node type and to just use their attachments because it comes with enclosures. It already comes with everything that's necessary to actually... Are you familiar with RSS?
No.
Okay. Well, RSS feeds, how podcasts work is it's an RSS feed. Like you would read a blog through an RSS reader.
Which is just an XML.
Yeah, it's just an XML file. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an enclosure is...
Certain DTD.
Yeah, exactly. And so how it knows to download a podcast is the enclosure says, well, here's an MP3 or here's an MP4 video. And Drupal has that built into it. Anyway, I didn't mean to make this a podcasting with Drupal track. I guess what's y'all's experience level with Drupal?
I deal with Drupal. Go to wrk.org. All
right.
So I've always used Drupal because I found that first.
Yeah.
And I found that the transition to Drupal would be pretty extreme in difference.
Mm-hmm.
I find that Drupal, for the most part, seems to be the developer's CMS.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're good at developing and you know PHP or whatever mm-hmm. you want to stick in there, then Drupal's probably for you. In the opposite direction, if you're trying to deliver something to a client where they can easily add stuff to pages with just real ease of use, but still a pretty robust mm-hmm. website, that Drupal was kind of better for that.
I think that's I think that's an absolutely fair assessment. What I find Drupal to be is to be a great framework if you want to do your own development. I mean, it's more of an API than it is like a finished content management system.
So here's a question: I want to delegate content creation for certain pages and subsets to people mm-hmm. and allow them to add PHP and other mm-hmm. scripting, but I don't want OpenPHP mm-hmm. access to my database, which is so I don't want them to be able to write just any mm-hmm. PHP. I want them to be able to write certain things in PHP. And as far as I know, there's in the system that comes with Drupal, I don't know where to find that. What should I do?
Well, you know what, the thing is, you either have like totally free reign to PHP, or you have none at all. Is how it works by default.
Right.
You could
fix that.
Write your own module to do that. You can write filter modules. You can write functionality modules to do that. I think
like a WYSIWYG that filters out and tells them what they can't do, I guess, or something.
Well, yeah, you could make yourself a filter. That would say, well, you can only run these PHP functions. I don't want them to be able to run exec, or I don't want them to be able to run whatever else.
Complex.
Oh, absolutely, it would be.
You're just going to change the structure of your code to do something to get around it anyway.
I mean, honestly, my recommendation for an approach on how to do that would not be to allow PHP in the code, but rather to say, I want to have this set of functions, and I'm going to write filters that say, okay, I want to allow this function. I mean...
Okay.
You know, if you're
like API or something,
to give you an example, to secure a firewall, you can either allow all or you can deny all. I mean, I would take a deny all approach.
How can I create a something where they can put a special tag and they put that tag and they're allowed a certain set of special tags?
Yeah, that would be you'd write.
Is there something like that for me to look at to start to create that?
You need to be able to program a module to do that.
Okay.
You're going to be writing.
Has anybody done anything like that?
Well, you know, there's lots of modules. For example, there's a Flickr module where all you have to do is write a Flickr tag that says, I want to put this Flickr album in there. And it's just like Flickr photo and then the ID of the photo, and that's all you have to do. You know, it's not like you're making people...
It's a token.
Yeah, it's a little token. Right. You know, you don't have to actually, you know, put your own iframes in there or any junk like that, which, you know, obviously... If you were letting your users put iframes directly into the code, that would be a security risk, you know, and so you wouldn't want to do that. And so that's what you could do is you could write a module that would give you a you could filter tokens to allow that functionality.
Okay, say I have, this is probably getting a little bit off topic, but say I have a whole system going on with a schedule, mm-hmm. and I basically want to provide a way for people who are authorized content creators, mm-hmm. you know, subsets of administration on the system, mm-hmm. to edit a sort of database that's running on the server, mm-hmm. like a database of shows. This is a college radio station,
yeah.
Second largest in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I listen
to Record Renaissance
and other stuff like that, and modify their schedule and that sort of thing. So they're mm-hmm. they're inserting and removing stuff from a database.
Yeah.
And not creating a page mm-hmm. or a story or anything. What does Drupal have for that?
You have user roles. You know, you can assign a role that's like calendar editor or database editor, and you can say, well, I only want to allow these people who have been assigned this role to edit this kind of node. Drupal,
yeah,
I mean, there's no every kind of content management system you have is going to have some sort of quirk to its permission system. You know, one of the things that I find to be quirky about Drupal's permissioning is that it's a little harder to do the kind of one-to-many relationships that you can do in some other content management systems.
Like, I can't grant somebody it's a certain right on a certain page. I can only
yeah,
like,
it,
you,
it's
you
like
have the right
you either
to
have everything or nothing. And, you know, and that's one of the things I find to be real quirky about Drupal's permissioning. Now, there are ways you can get around that. Like, and we're redeveloping our podcast site right now, which we run the Georgia Podcast Network on an older version of Drupal. It's Drupal 4.7.
That's what I'm running.
One of the things...
How hard is it to move?
How hard is it to move? That's another story. We'll get to that in a minute.
Right.
We know that you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Upgrade to CMS is a pain.
Yeah, it is. We have these little containers which are called programs, and then under each program, you know, we have all people's audio episodes. The way our site works currently, we can't totally open it up because we have to manually delegate. You know, what program a show falls under. We're doing it with taxonomy rather than doing it with any sort of real permissioning system. So we can't open it up the way YouTube is done. However, we're redeveloping our site, and we found a workaround to this, which is we're going to use the content construction kit and the node reference module. So now instead of a program being a taxonomy term, it's going to be an actual node. And what we can do with a node from there is that we can write our own custom form altering module to then delegate out the permission to who can post to what node. And we can pretty much, through the original author editing the node, determine any sort of permissions we want to, really.
Now, where do you insert if I wanted to mess with who can edit what node? Where in the system do I get to that?
Well, as far as doing it without your own custom module,
yeah.
The way you do it is just through the user roles. And, I mean, it is that sort of all or nothing functionality. Now, you can write your own program. That's,
I
would be
right?
really
yeah.
surprised if they didn't have a module already for Drupal. They
there's,
extended
yeah.
privileges because I know they do have
yeah. There's all there's like an access control list module. You might
yeah.
want to look into that. I mean, there's all sorts of things, you know. I mean, Drupal is like a Swiss Army knife. I mean, it's a total double-edged sword.
They work 90% of the time.
Yeah. You know, and you were... You're either going to really love what you can do with your site or you're going to be totally out of luck with it. I mean, there's not like an in-between with it. And so that's kind of your up and down side to it.
You really have to be careful with third-party modules, though.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, a lot of the features on my site, you know, before we decided to rewrite it,
uh-huh.
which is being done now, you know, right now it's on Joomla. So I use third-party modules to do these things.
On, sorry?
SecurityDistro.com. Mm-hmm. Right now it's all based off of Joomla. So you use third-party modules unless you want to develop or have the time or skill
yeah.
to develop everything yourself. And they just inherently have a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a bug, you could wait 2 years for it to get real.
Well, yeah.
Fixed. Or you could wait 2 days if it's a really active module. It could be extremely useful, but then when you upgrade to the next version, it breaks it and nobody cares because...
That's a problem,
you know,
with all open source CMS.
Okay,
you know, it's not limited to Drupal or Joomla or anything,
right.
Is that if you have a well-maintained module, you're sitting pretty. But a lot of the modules are abandonware, and somebody will put out a module that they need for one purpose, and it works for their purpose just fine. And then, honestly, they couldn't give two shits about
right.
the users. And that's a problem in any open source community. And one of the remedies people have found is to try to put bounties on these things, and it becomes a commercial thing. They say, here, I'll just fix this. I'll give you $500. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, because honestly, I don't know if $500 would be worth supporting a module to me right now. But
I recommend doing your research, because
yeah.
I've bought modules and found
mm-hmm.
modules that were just as good or better for
yeah.
free. You know, it's just like
absolutely.
Software.
I mean,
you can buy it or you can search a lot and find
yeah,
something.
I mean,
comparable.
My advice for people who would want to use Drupal is use the core. Use well-maintained modules. You can tell when a module is well-maintained. There's constant updates to it.
Okay.
Use those. But if you need core functionality that's provided by a module that's not very well-maintained, you might be better off writing it yourself. And you need to take that into account when you're speccing out what content management system you want to use, because you may be better off with Joomla, or you may be better with something else. I certainly wouldn't recommend Drupal as like a universal blanket solution to everybody's CMS problems. It's a good solution for a lot of problems. So
Drupal 4 to Drupal 5.
Drupal 4 to Drupal 5. Well, you know, the one thing about upgrading Drupal is you can't go from like 4.7 to 5.2 directly. You have to go 4.7 to 5.0 to 5.1 to 5.2.
Because the upgrade process goes and modifies each
yeah.
of your content
yeah.
pieces. How can I do that while I'm online, or do I really have to take it offline during each of those content update phases?
I would, well, first of all, you need to back everything up. I mean, I think that should be obvious with any upgrade process, no matter how smooth it is.
It's easier said than done, because it...
The one thing, I guess the advantage Drupal has over some content management systems is you can do it in a test environment and then just port it over to the live environment a lot easier than I think you can do it.
Just copy the whole data.
You copy the whole directory and you have to change like one thing in the configuration file.
Yeah,
because you have your initial configuration file which points to whatever your root domain is for this.
I don't know about much about what goes on in the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a database behind it as well? But
oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
So it's got a SQL. It's got two SQL tables.
It's got several SQL tables. I mean, I think my current test installation on Drupal 5 with some custom modules and other modules installed has got like 80 tables. I mean, it's big.
But that's all under one database.
It's all under one database, yeah.
You just do an export of your entire
you just do a
database, whatever you named it, and you package your files that are running, and you have basically two files, and you port those over to a test.
And then I added one.
You can pull from the same database, though, right?
You
don't
could.
Test against it, though.
You could. I wouldn't test against it, though. I would do
yeah.
it in a separate environment.
It does modify. I broke everything
yeah.
when I ran an update. And
it's a lot faster, and it's
acting off during the update, and it
yeah.
didn't do some things to
yeah.
the database it was supposed to have done during the update, and it broke like half the content.
Yeah.
Yeah, copy and test.
I had to roll back.
Back everything up,
and
do stuff in a test environment. It's easy to port your test environment over to your live environment with Drupal. I mean, that's one advantage to it. The upgrade may be a pain in the ass, but you can do it in a test environment where you can screw things up and do it over again if you want to.
Because generally, if you upgrade a CMS and you have those third-party add-ons, a lot of them will break.
Yeah,
So you'll have to then upgrade the modules.
Of course,
you have to check them all before you want it to be live because you don't want a bunch of busted functionality that was working before.
Drupal has a very good set of instructions for doing these upgrades. I mean, it actually does it by version. It says, here's how you upgrade 4.7 to 5.0. Here's how you upgrade 5.0 to 5.1. And generally, you know, you'll want to disable all the third-party modules. You're going to end up downloading all third-party modules over again for the current version because they're not compatible version to version.
I've been told going from 4 to 5, I should really rebuild. I should really do upgrades and simultaneously rebuild the server and then move the content, because it also screws with the libraries on the server. Is that true?
I've never heard of that. But
so you should upgrade it, and then you should take your content and move it over to a fresh install.
You should always do everything on a development server, you know, first, and test it out and see where it goes wrong. Because
well,
I can't speak specifically to
your
case,
content,
but
using the upgrading database,
yeah.
It upgrades your content as it upgrades the.
Yeah, because the
so
database.
Upgrade the content on the development server, and then go reinstall. You know, make a new primary server installation with Apache and Drupal. And then copy the content into the...
I don't think you don't need to mess with Apache.
The easiest way I've done it is make a subdomain name, like beta.
Yeah.
Password it with an htaccess file. Copy what you think is a working version from your dev environment to that. Check it all in that, and then remap whatever domain references you need. So, like, if you had... And then basically you just flip the switch and you're up. You know, it's literally a 5-minute change.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way I've found to do it with content.
Because people are breaking it so
almost
much, I'm going to buy people to get hardware and hard switch.
You don't need to mess with Apache to upgrade
Drupal.
And you don't really need to recompile your PHP or anything
unless
you want to allow.
Unless you're upgrading to something that requires PHP.
Yeah, here's the thing.
It's something
like,
the machine has been running like for 7 years.
Well, you just need to upgrade it.
This is just your thing, man. I mean, that's it has nothing to do with everybody.
It gets mess.
Now,
the problem is, I try to run it on a Drupal 4 install, and there's still Drupal 2 shit in the content. And unless I do Drupal 2 shit libraries behind in there.
Now, here's the thing. What I will tell you for
just start again.
Yeah. What I will tell you for the future. What I will say for the future is that Drupal up to 5.2 is maintaining backwards compatibility with PHP 4, so you would probably be okay up to Drupal 5.2. Drupal 6, however, is getting rid of that requirement. Now there's going to be a bunch of PHP 5 specific stuff, so your site may break if you try
to
go to
Drupal 6.
To be
honest, I don't know. When I'm coding PHP, I don't know what's 4 and what's 5. It doesn't complain to me. So.
There's a lot of new functionality available in
PHP
5.
So basically, I'm probably coding a lot of 4 stuff, and I don't want to update Drupal past 5.2?
Probably not.
Wait till 6.
I mean, you could wait till 6. You know, I mean, I guess the thing is that if you're going to do the upgrade to Drupal 6, you need to be running PHP 5.
I get so much malfunction in my Drupal 4 stuff.
Yeah.
Unless they did upgrades and security patches that you really need.
Yeah.
Probably, because
that's generally the case of why they do like sub-releases for CMSs is they find big holes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of software it is.
Okay.
You know, it's, I mean, Drupal has that, Joomla, WordPress, anything you can think of is going to have security fixes. I mean, even Mac OS has security fixes, you know. I mean,
I heard that Microsoft company has a few, too.
They have a few as well. I've heard
Cactus,
of a few here and there.
Cactus has holes in it. Cacti has holes in it the size of.
That's a big hole. All right. Anybody have anything else they want to talk about?
They say that because Cacti is actually, there's a Drupal Cacti module that installs Cacti into Drupal.
Hmm.
Don't install it.
That sounds like a problem.
I lost my Drupal.
Yeah.
My machine was running so many.
Well,
CMSs have you used?
Well, I've toyed with just about everything under the sun. I mean, as far as using like in a production environment, we've just gone with like WordPress and Drupal most of the time. We really like WordPress for more purposes than not, honestly. And Drupal, you know, we like it for the podcast site because it's a good development environment. You know, it's a good, I mean, Drupal is, I really think people should think of it more as an API than they think should think of it as like a finished end-user kind of content management system, because it's a spectacular API, but kind of a pain in the ass for end-users right now, but it's improving every day, too. I mean, I think Drupal 5 was a major step up for end-users versus Drupal 4.7, and I think Drupal 6 will be not quite as big a leap as 4.7 to 5 was, but it's still every day getting better for end users. I mean, I could see a day where it would catch up.
You may have already answered this, but for multi-author stuff, do you always use Drupal, or do you use WordPress multi-user at all?
You know, honestly, we haven't done that many sites, like in our freelance work and stuff like that, that have been had major multi-author requirements.
Okay.
I mean, I think...
I have the Sex 2.0 site.
Yeah, you have the Sex
2.0. 20 users, but But so far, only one of the other users has done anything.
Yeah.
WordPress?
WordPress.
So that
yeah.
handles most of
it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you just strictly need blog functionality, and, you know, maybe you want to occasionally throw up a podcast or something, I'd still have to recommend WordPress for that.
Do you actually, Ember, do you use MU, WordPress MU for that, or just regular WordPress plugins?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of that site that lets you test all the content management
systems? Open source CMS.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
That's fun. Yeah, because, I mean, there's no universal, this content management will solve all your problems. I mean, it's not like that.
There's definitely ones there at the top of their tier, though, for CMS, because what you run into with the smaller ones, if you're not a developer, or if you just do light development work, is what kind of communities around it. With Drupal and Joomla and stuff like Sugar CRM, you know, it's a CRM, but it has, you know, CMS type stuff. WordPress, they have enough of a community to where whatever problem you have, somebody's probably written it, or somebody can help you, or somebody has something on what your issue is, you know, because of the community. So you really have to look at the community, just like any open source project.
Yeah.
The community is going to tell you how.
After that Web Entrepreneurs meeting where they did the shootout, I tried that Website Baker.
Yeah, the one that I presented in?
You know, it was great. I mean, you put it up in like 5 minutes. But there's like 6 modules.
The module. I actually got with, gosh, I can't remember his name now. I got with him, and, you know, he kind of gave me a more in-depth Website Maker tutorial, and it was the same kind of issue, you know. He's a developer, so he uses it however he wants, and that's just his launching platform, really.
Yeah.
So the end-user, non-developer, or light...
But like the end-user who you want to have up in content, it's like completely unscary place to be. Drupal's a little.
Drupal's making strides in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, in another year or two, I can fully foresee it being much friendlier to end users. I think, you know, every community sort of picks the group of people it's going to focus on.
Yeah.
Joomla is focusing more on end users.
WordPress is
focusing more on end users, but it's also got a really good developer community. I mean, it's kind of a unique situation.
But see, WordPress has a good enough target to blogs where I think they can do that. You know,
yeah.
A lot of the CMSs, you got to think the code base for those is so large from the core code that they can't really do what WordPress is doing. You know, WordPress, for the most part, they're like, our core code is blog.
Yeah.
And here you go.
I mean,
whatever else you want to add on to it, go for it. It just does what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it's not a Swiss
Army
knife. It's a very specific tool for a very specific purpose. But I'll tell you, though, I mean, I've developed a few plugins for it here and there just on the side, and it's really got a pretty good API, too. It's not as powerful as Drupal's API. There are certain things that it's an incredible pain in the ass to do if you want to try to do it. But most of it, you know, most of the things you'd want to do work really well and really easily.
You found that pretty much everybody who uses Drupal is a PHP programmer? I mean, you kind of have to...
Well, actually, I mean, the strange thing about Drupal is that most of the people I know who are using it are not developers, and I...
But, I mean, are we talking robust web apps, or, I mean, with actual core...
Most people are using it...
People just putting up content?
People are just putting up content. I mean, they're using it for blog sites and, multi-author blog sites, and they all seem a little sort of befuddled at it, and I can understand why. But then they use it and it works. I mean, it's not like it's not working for them. I think I would like to see a sort of stronger developer community around here for it, because I think, like I said, it's a great development platform.
I think if they did the meetup, if somebody did a duplicate meetup on this side of town or in town, or, you know,
we've had that conversation. I'm starting
to,
yeah.
I'm more of a light programmer. I know enough about the SDLC and testing. You know, I'm more on the testing and security side.
Yeah.
So I do enough light PHP to understand, but I don't really want to start developing my own apps. That's why I don't use Drupal. But I wouldn't mind, definitely. I would, if they were closer, I'd probably go into it.
I would love to go to all the meetings, but I'm just not doing a 50 or 60 minute drive each way to Alpharetta. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And I've been talking to them about trying to do a venue rotation so that they do some of the meetings in town. And some of them out in the burbs, because I understand some of them are out in the burbs, and it's a long drive for them, too. But
I'm on the east side of town, outside the perimeters.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Decatur, and that's a solid 50-minute drive each way.
Decatur,
just near downtown.
Or, okay, downtown.
Yeah, So, like, near Fellini's over there.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.